الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين إن شاء الله تفضل will be continuation to the series of how to build the Muslim family and we found out that the major law that controlled the attitude, the behavior, the purpose of the family is in Surah An-Nahl, verse 90. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ordering us to do three things and to stop three things. And I talked earlier about those three and how the family or the structure of the family is supposed to promote, to educate, to train the new generation and to deal with each other based on those. So now I started last week talking about the first element of what we're supposed to do, which is al-adl, justice. And al-adl, I talked a little bit about it, and I found out al-adl basically means that you are giving whomever you are in contact with, you give him his right according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And I found out that the first one that comes in the list is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be fair. You will never be fair with Allah, but you have to recognize and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights, and you have to do your best to give it to the best of your capability. Also, there is a minimum amount of knowledge that you're supposed to acquire, and you're supposed to teach the new generation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these things, these are supposed to control how you behave with Allah. And I said this will be summed in three major titles. The first one, which is what is the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the minimum that I need to know about Allah? The second is what is His rights? And the third, how to deal with Him. How to communicate, what is the basis of them, and actually the fourth is how to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have four major elements. You have to teach your child those four. And when I say you have, that means I am talking about a vital things that you're supposed to be doing. The first, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to know about Allah, or what is the definition of Allah. I last week started to talk a little bit about it, and I said we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only supreme being that create everything, the whole universe, and own everything, provide for everything, control everything, and give life and death. That's the minimum that you need to know. Also, you need to know about Him, لَيْتَ كَمِسْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, none like unto Him. So you do not try to imagine. And inshallah, before the end of the khutbah, I will see talk about how we supposed to recognize Him and what are the mistakes that we do when we do not follow this approach. Nothing can happen in the universe against His will and without His permission. And we found out that His will and permission, they are two kind. The first one is called al-irada al-shar'iyya, the legislative will, which is Allah told you, and this is where He comes, the messenger and the messages and everything tells you what He wants you to do, what is the right thing to do. That's the first will. The second part, which is called al-irada al-kawniyya, that means how the universe run, how the evil will get intermingled with the good. And this is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a difference between want it to happen and allow it to happen. In the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want it to happen. And He is promoting you to do it. In the second one, He is allowing you to happen. Why? Because you have the motive to do it. You have it bad inside you to do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you, I will let you carry the consequence. And it's not going to happen if it is not my will. Why? Because in the day of judgment, don't come and tell I'm a nice guy. In the day of judgment, what's going to be? كَفَ بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمِ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You trial yourself. Look at your deed and you trial yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that approach, what He's saying, what it meant it, that if you acknowledge and understand, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, after you understand, clearly understand what is the right thing to do according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and according to the behavior of the good believer, and you are still insisting in the wrongdoing, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you do, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّ, will let you do it. But what will happen after that? You will pay the consequence heavily. So you need to know, some people come even and they come and say, well, if it is a God will, how it happened, how people, how wars, how? Because that's what the people wanted to happen. So you get the consequence of what your choices are. And that's what the life is all about, giving you a chance. And it educates you to how to take a right choice. Also, what we need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty everywhere. And there is no gap between you and between Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all and hears all. Don't ask how, because it is beyond the comprehension of your five senses. We know there is a lot of things that do exist and your five senses cannot recognize. I cannot describe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to know that He is وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I am here and I am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mighty everywhere. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala رَحْمَتُ, His blessing, His mercy, وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That means it compass everything. And what is what we need to know that? Why we need to know that? Why we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim, is the merciful. Why? And when you begin in the Surah Al-Fatiha, it says what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a confirmation to this attitude, to this. Why? Because He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, never be shy to come back. And whatever your sin is, don't ever let your weakness, your shortcoming, your sin stop you from coming back. Why? Because you need to know that He is Ar-Rahman. And you need, He is the only one who can prevent the harm. He is the one who can knows what you need, and He is the only one who can give it to you. So, because He is the only one, He will never shut His door. You need to learn that, and you need to teach that to your child. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give in His universe, gives what every single creature need. What make him sustain and put him in the environment to fulfill the purpose of his or her creation. I'm not talking about only the human being species. I'm talking about all kinds of species. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every single creature what he or she needs in any given time. So never be despair, or never think that you've been left out, or never think that you're going to leave without taking what has already been dedicated to you. And I talked a little bit last week about if you believe by that, that Allah is the provider, there is no ground inside for either shirk or hypocrisy or even kufr. There is no ground in there. Why you do it? There is nothing in there where those seed of evils can grow in it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever small deed you think it is very small as long as it is done with good intention. As long as the good intention and it is done within the boundaries of the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ever accept a wrongdoing. Allah does not accept wrongdoing. When you read in this legislation, in that part of the legislation, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة. They are doing the wrong doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening the repentance door, the acceptance of their repentance, their excuses. Why? Because they are doing it out of ignorant, not out of lack of interest or deliberate or underestimating the consequences and taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy for granted. And here is the word. In الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةَ. السُّوء is here is not plural. Because the plural of السُّوء is what? السَّيِّئَات. That's the plural. So Allah talking about one wrongdoing, not a group of wrongdoing, not a sum of wrongdoing. So the biggest, there is nothing can be done to damage your own self more than taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted. Or think it is a small mistake. If you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that you're supposed to, all your mistakes, we are human and we will do it. But we do it unintentionally or a bad calculation or out of lack of knowledge. And the minute we do it, we keep repenting and we keep correcting and we keep going on. But we need not get to the point where we get used to it. To the point we get used to it and see it even small. And sometimes we do it now and we don't even feel it is small. And that's what I was talking about in the khutbah before last. Al-fahsha. That is al-fahsha. When you get in your heart, you get used to that. So you need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never promote the wrongdoing. But He's giving you a chance in it. So when you are raising your child, you have one of the two from the beginning. They are not going to be two. Either you make them from day one have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the respect of Allah, and the love of Allah, you make him love Allah enough that you want to please him by going doing the good deed, and be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will never dare to do the wrong things. One of the things that it make me feel very, very sad. Very sad. To the point, I cannot describe how sad. It's like exactly you are putting a knife right. I'm coming to give you a hug. And you are right, go right in and not stabbing me in my back. You go right into my heart and put the knife right in between. When I see a parent, or a husband or a wife, or some come and say, what are the people going to say about us now? You are worried about your ego and your image, and you are not. What that means, if this crime or that wrongdoing been done and no one know about it, it is okay? Your job is to develop a conscience. to develop your conscious and that human being conscious. The minute that Allah gives you the baby, if you look closely, you're going to see a message coming out from the mother womb with that baby. The message, it says, I trust you with that living being. I created that. I'm going to provide for him. I'm going to feed him. And I'm going to shelter him. I'm going to give him his destiny. I'm going to start his life. I'm going to end him. But I want you to keep him. I want you to educate him. I want you to train him to qualify to my mercy in this life and the after. So when we don't do that, what are we doing? We're doing betray. We betray the trust. And unfortunately, there is no other word that I can describe it other than betray. Because that's what it is. So from the beginning, you have to let your child know. You do that so Allah will be pleased with you. You don't do that because Allah will be displeased with you. And please, we have more than enough slaves in the Muslim Ummah. We have more than enough slaves. Don't raise a child to be afraid of you. Because simply you don't have that right. You don't have the right to intimidate a soul being trusted with and make it afraid of you. Your job is to make him love you and respect you, but not to be afraid of you. And in this occasion, maybe you heard me say it again, when the pure good character will be raised, the nature of the human being raised, right? Ali ibn Abi Talib, radwanullahi alayhi. We know that he was in the custody and he was living in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam house. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing up and praying, and before you know it, here you go. Ali came, rice stood right by him, and he's doing whatever he's doing. Whatever Sayyidina Muhammad is doing, he's doing it. So after that, after Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished, he turned to Ali and he said, don't you think it is better to ask your father permission before you do what I'm doing? What is the answer of that child? What is the answer of that child? And I mean that child. Allah did not take my father permission before he created me. Why should I take his permission to worship him? That's the personality we want. That's the confidence we want. And that is the character we want. Child loves dearly his father, but he knows that the prime in his life is his maker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, simply, Ali became to be Ali. When you have a child behaving like this and thinking like this, what you expect from him? What you expect going to happen? We are living in an era where never been in the history of Islam have more scholars, have more people, have more economic resources, and eventually stability. And look at where we are. And why? Because those points, those major points. Without going for any further details, but please, hook your child to the love of Allah and make him love him enough to be eager to try to please him. Let him be afraid of Allah enough to not to dare to disobey him. You do your job as a parent when you do that. Now, how we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the basic rules of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Basically, when we deal with somebody, on the other party, we try to do one of three things. If the other person or the other entity is stronger, they are stronger, what I do? I try to motivate so I can get what I want. If they are weaker, I don't bother much. I put my hand and I get what I want. And you have all kind of justification after that to justify your behavior. And it is very well known, the first rule of aggression, dehumanize your victim. But if we are equal, here it comes the negotiation. I give you this and you give me that. But in the three, there is an interest, a mutual interest. When you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from there it came the rule or the behavior of the human being of the concept of sacrifice. Because you know that Allah is a lot more stronger. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and you don't. Here it came the concept of sacrifice. All over the history of the mankind. So you try to give the offering. And thinking that by offering you are stopping his anger. Or you are getting on the right side where you can get whatever you got. Get health, you can get life, you can get whatever that you want. The concept of sacrifice. So you give. You're not going to take here because there is nothing to take. You're going to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying now, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is not the rule to deal with me. This is not the rule, and that concept got to stop. What at the base? The base to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the total submission. Total submission. If you look at the digress of the belief of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, what he ended up with is قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Submit. Not sit down to negotiate, not sit down to see his entity or his faculty or. No, a state of submission. But I just said, if you submit to other, the stronger, usually the other will use you or abuse you for his own or his own interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no. I want you to know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. There is nothing that you can do that you have that I need. Because I'm the one who gave you, and give you what you have. But when you submit to me, you submit to me for your interest, not for mine. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. When you do good, you do for yourself, bad for yourself, and Allah is all fair and just with everybody. So when you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are submitting for your best interest, not for His best interest. And that's just about the only single case in the whole entire history between a weaker and a mighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the basis of dealing with me, the basis, and you will see them in the Quran right after each other all the time. Read whatever you want to read. Man amana wa amila salih. Man amana wa amila salih. Believe, and it translated belief to a good deed. Amana wa amila salih. Amana wa amila salih. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the basis is al-Iman and al-Amal al-Salih, the belief and the good deed. And he said, those are what I'm going to use to favor between you. خيركم عند الله أتقاكم.
the best among you by piety. Or by another word, what? We don't have a religious hierarchy. We have a learned people. We have scholars. But every one of them, or her, they have their own problems. They are a human being. You never treat them holy or semi-holy. They are a human being like you. You respect them. You learn from them. You be grateful to them. You follow them when they are right. But that's what? That's the end of that line. Look at the concept of holiness that we are adding to shrines and to deities and Sheikh Fulan and the name of whatever. Where are you bringing that from? Where did that came from? خيركم عند الله أتقاكم. The best is by piety. And these are available to every human being. And you never know. You never know who Allah will favor, because you never know what's in other people's heart. You behave this way and you teach your children to behave this way. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? You need to understand the purpose of creation. Without the understanding the purpose of creation, imagine you are turning your car on and running in the street and you don't have a clue where you go. Sooner or later, the tank will be empty. But the car is going to stop wherever it's going to stop. You have to know why you are alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even telling you, أَحْسِدْتُمْ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ لَاعِبِينَ. Do you think we just created you in vain? Created you as a game? It just happened? No. You need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to give you opportunity. Please bear with me, because this khutbah is important. If I take 2-3 more minutes, bear with me. In that universe, like anything else in it, it goes through what it called sunnah. By the English, or in the scientific field, they call it scientific or life cycle. The life cycle. A human being also go through a life cycle. 200 years ago, every one of us were what? A soul. How would this soul look like? Attributes, character, what it does? Allahu a'lam. No one knows. But we know it did exist. By Allah's permission, this soul started to take a physical shape on the father back. What we call a sperm. If you look at the attributes of the sperm, and you look at the attributes of you now, completely different. But you are still the same thing. But a different format. By Allah's permission, the father had nothing to do, zero, zulch, to create that sperm. Nothing. أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلِقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking you, that sperm in your back, who created? You created or Allah created? By Allah's permission, that sperm will move to the mother womb. From the first second the sperm is in fertilized, and you have a fertilized egg, and you have the process of creation going on as if you have a timetable. And it is going fully automatic by our concept. Neither the mother nor the father have anything to do with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a certain time, there is a development of a heart, there is a development of an arm, there is a development of a leg, there is development of everything. But the point that I'm trying to take you with it is this. For every stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that being, you and me, in that time, in the environment in it, to live in it, and to be able to live in the environment after. When the sperm go from the father to the mother, any female has an immune system. I'm not going to go through the details in here. But how would that go through the immune system? The immune system going to kill anything. The sperm is a foreign subject. Kill him. Intruders, kill him. Why? He is the only one. He is welcome. And have bodyguard to go to the eggs. Ayah min ayat Allah in the creation. But anyway, you have the timetable, you have everything. The creation is going on in the mother womb, not to live in there. But to live where? Somewhere else. Simple. Every single org, when he finish the bones, the heart, the brain, the nervous system, uranus, whatever system is, he certain type of hormones that come and says, mission accomplished, complete. Can I stay? The immune system for the female gonna say you can stay. Till the last organ, which is the lungs. And when those lungs get completed and that hormone started to come out and say, mission accomplished, can I stay? The more gonna say, sorry. You have to get out. Because you are now completely ready for next stage. The minute that being coming out of the womb of the mother to a complete different environment, he can adjust in seconds. And cry in seconds. Crying means what? The system started to take over. The initiation process, seconds, and it's gone from one environment. There is no trance and there is no whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ayatillah tabarak wa ta'ala. The point that I'm trying to drive to is this. In that stage, up to here, the human being has nothing to do with it. But when that baby got born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the faculties and he said, for you in certain grades, you have the responsibility to prepare yourself for the next one. So while you are alive, I am alive as an opportunity and as a part, I have the faculty to be aware and the faculty and the mind to know what is right and wrong. Allah give us the messenger to show us and to demonstrate to us and give us the messages so it can be with us so we can prepare ourselves by ourselves to qualify to His mercy. It's like you go and apply for a degree. They're going to give you the curriculum, they're going to give you the course, they're going to give you the book, the title of the book, and they're going to give, but you are the one who's going to do the studying. If you want to graduate, that is what is your life and mine is all about. And when it is expired, you go to the next stage, which is what? The grave. And after the grave, it is a resurrection. And after that is the eternal life. What is the mission in here? Al-akhlaq. Ethics. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمَّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Ethics. To develop akhlaq. And al-akhlaq is a plural of khalq. That means it is intuitions. Something need to be created inside you, like in the mother womb. The arm, the leg, the eyes, the brain, whatever, need to be created in that stage. Also in that stage, there is things you need to create, which is called what? the ethics. Rahma, patience, forgiveness, all of these kind of attributes. That's what it's supposed to do, and that's what is your life is all about, and mine is all about. To divine, to develop this quality in that being. And Allah give you the responsibility for it. You have to let your child know that. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. And help us to be a better Muslim. And help us to be a better head of a household. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran. And the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And apply them in our life. So we can live in peace. And we can die in peace. And inshallah, the hereafter, we will be in peace. And we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله there are two points. I'm going to be very brief and talk about it very quick. If you need more information, inshallah I will stay after the khutbah because the issue is important. The first is in adab, how to deal with Allah. Now we know the rules, but how to deal with Him. Please have a time with yourself. Look at whatever going around you as if you are already residents in a hotel. You are a guest. Sooner or later you are leaving. And usually we only pay when we leave. You can ask room service as much as you want. Nobody will stop you. You can do whatever in the room. There is a cleaning going on. There is a day and there is night. Look at it as there is a rain, wind, and whatever. But you're going to pay, you're going to pay. You are a guest, and you better be a good one. You are in that universe, in this kingdom, a guest. Be a good one. Because you're going to pay for any damage you do. The second, never lose hope in Allah's mercy. And never either take it for granted. Never take this mercy for granted. And never lose hope in it. Or by another word, Allah is the merciful. Use the mercy, do not abuse it. Use it, do not abuse it. Also, Allah is a lot more closer and a lot more watching. Please don't worry about others, what they say and what they do. You will be outside of the memory in less than a week after you leave. Nothing gonna be with you. Nothing gonna be with you except your deed in that grave. Base your calculation based on that. I wanna talk very quickly also about how we identify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I finish the khutbah. Like I said earlier, the human being do know there is existence of supreme power, but he doesn't. Usually we have the tendency for the things that we do not. We know that exist, but we cannot identify by the five senses we imagine. And I give example about that, about the angel and about the devil. And I said the attribute, the picture, when you analyze it, you will, who said that? This is a product of the brain. And the brain is nothing but the knowledge is what? Nothing but your five senses giving you. Who said that this is how the angel look like or the devil walayazu billah look like? They applied the same attitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ended up worshipping what? Statues or a different deity in the history. They are not dumb. They are not dummy. Don't ever think that we are a lot more smarter than them. No, they were, in a lot of cases, they were a lot more smarter than us. But their philosophy, their conclusion, it was what? The stone doesn't do mistakes. I do. So that stone is more pure than me. The stone can be closer to God than me. So I will take him as what? لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَةً. We will take him as a mediator. Maybe Allah will have mercy on us because of that, because they don't do mistakes. You see how the human being mind can work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, stop that. Stop that. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. That's natural law. Get it out of your brain. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. None like into him. That means what? Don't use your brain again trying to identify who is Allah. His being. But what is the way to do it? He said there are three ways to do it. And they all help each other and they complete each other. Number one, look the creation. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah will show his science. You know the quality. I don't know anything about these microphones. I don't know who did it. But I can say it is good. It is excellent. Or it is bad. From the performance. From the quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I created you and equipped you to be able to know me through my creation. Look at the sun. Look at the moon. Look at the wind. Look at the water. Look at the rain. Look, 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 look. You will see my mighty. You will see my knowledge. You will see my wisdom. You will see my mercy in how life going. The second, through the names and the attributes that it came in the Holy Revelation. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir. Al-Ghati, Al-Qabid, Al-Basid. He defined himself by himself. And to best of my knowledge, and I hope that we all one day will do it, I call it the university, not even the college, or I don't call it even a department. I call it the university. The University of Asma'ullah. The names and the attributes of Allah. I call it university. If you spend every single day, take one attribute and try to find out how it is demonstrated in life. Take just only one. Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Munqidh, Al-Aati, Al-Ra'uf, and others and others and others. You will never, there is no end there. And the third, how he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defined himself by himself in the messages, the Quran, and how Sayyidina Muhammad, the last one, he identified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. What I told, what I talk about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the minimum. There is nothing can be less than that. Even one word. Please. There is nothing that you can do worse than not giving those knowledge to the new generation and promote it to them and let them, inspire them to know more. But these are the minimum requirement and the minimum amount of knowledge that you're supposed to know and adhere and apply in your life and give it to others. Please review it. Ask questions. If the issue needs to be cleared, let it be investigated. That's what the life is all about. Till inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our heart. And now we have a compass and we have a direction. And we know why Allah created us. And we know what is the end of that. And how the mercy on that. And now we can go. So please do it for yourself and do it for your family. And let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our gathering and bless us and give and pardon us and give us a brand new start. And help us to understand the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And inshallah, in the hereafter, we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adl والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله أكبر أعلم وأنتم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله